Delaware 105.9.
The program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 105.9.
Good morning. It's the Delmarva Potting Shed, and we're live here at East Coast Garden Center, and it is August 17th. We're halfway through August. I hate saying that because August, summer's never long enough, and August is never, it never seems like it's here. But it's been a wonderful week. I'm Valerie Cordry. I'm sitting next to Rick Cordry and Lawrence at the controls. And who's back at the studio? Kate back at the studio, and we are here for, we're here every day of the week, but for the next 2 hours, we're live on the radio at East Coast Garden Center, and looking forward to a great program, lots of things to talk about, lots of things happening. I hope you're enjoying your summer, and it's going to be another beautiful summer day today. It's a little bit overcast, a little bit cooler. My phone said only 10% chance of rain, so it's a good day to get out. Come to East Coast Garden Center. We're located on 30366 Cordry Road, and we can talk about things that are happening here. We have a $1 annual sale, and you still have plenty of time to, if you want to reboot your garden, come get some. You're changing. You're frowning. Why do you?
You said reboot your garden.
Yeah, like, reboot it.
Like, what does that mean?
Like if you turn things off and turn them back on, and they get better.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
So you can reboot. I haven't figured out how to reboot you, but that's okay.
It's impossible.
Yes. I haven't figured out how to turn you off, but that's okay. So.
Never mind. Keep telling people what's on sale, please.
So annuals are on sale, all kinds of beautiful annuals, and they look healthy, and they have been well taken care of. And if you have some dead spots in your yard or some places in your container you want to switch some spent flowers out and put some new ones in for a dollar, it's a pretty darn good deal. Also, some annual grasses. I mean, they're great. You can use them in your fall containers. They're great mixed with mums and pansies and all the fall flowers. Our tropicals, buy one, get one, which you hate, the BOGO.
Yeah, I hate
that word, BOGO.
I do hate that.
Buy one, get one. B-O-G-O.
I didn't even know what it was for the first 2 years.
I knew that. Oh, we were on family vacation, and I learned a lot of things, too. It's funny what you learn when you're with your family. We'll talk about that later, too. Let's see. Our hours are 8 to 5 every day but Sunday. Sunday's 10 to 4. We have a website. You can text us if you want to talk to the Garden Center. Or in the next 2 hours, if you want to text us or call us, 302-839-1059 or text us at 302-839-1059. Love to hear from you. Anything you want to ask us or tell us about, tell us how your garden's going, how your summer is going, plants that you've enjoyed. We spent a week at the beach. I also wanted to talk about plants we saw that do well at the ocean with salt breezes and sand.
Like seaweed,
yeah. Actually, the ocean was beautiful. I didn't have any seaweed, did you?
I didn't go in.
That's right, you didn't. That's right. Okay. Oh, we have our raffle going on. We have a monthly raffle, and we're raffling off a really beautiful bougainvillea. And later on in the show, let's talk about overwintering tropicals too. This is a good time to start thinking about what you want to save, what you want to throw out, and if you're going to save it, how to save it. We have classes coming up. Our popular orchid class is September 21st, which is a Saturday at 11 o'clock.
And she'll bring a whole new batch of orchids when she comes, right?
Yes.
That's Beth Davis.
So if you're looking forward to. And the nice thing is we try to have the orchid class at different times of the year because different orchids are blooming at different times of the year. So she'll have a whole new selection of different blooming orchids.
Are you going to buy one?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You usually do.
Why don't you talk about what you've done with our orchids and the putting plants, house plants outside in the summertime?
Well, I think it really makes them grow. I mean, they've always suggested to put orchids out in the shade somewhere because they will burn. If you put them out in the full sun, you're going to have scorch on the leaves. So we found a nice little place in the back of our yard, and we built some shelves back there, and it's like an arbor with vines running over it, and it gets indirect light, but it doesn't get any direct sunlight. So all our orchids and all our clivia are sitting on those shelves, and I liquid fed them all before we went on vacation, so I'm curious. You made me get up at 6 o'clock this morning to make the radio show, so I didn't have a chance to go check them, but right now, when we get home, I'll look at them and see how they've done. But I think they're really like to acclimate to the outdoors. That's where they like to be. And I think you'll get more bloom set. And definitely they'll be healthier when you bring them indoors before the first frost.
Because they like the humidity that we have. Like you said, the shade, even the pollinators are out there. I think that they get the added moisture that I think houses are...
Pollinators give them moisture?
No.
You're confusing me.
Talking about different subjects. I didn't take a breath.
So, that's not a normal.
Pollinators
take
for
a
the
breath.
Flowers.
Yeah.
Moisture for the entire plant because they grow in areas that in their natural environment are high humidity areas. Oh. And Delaware certainly has high humidity, so they like that. They like the rains. I think that there's all kinds of scientific reasons why rains are healthy for plants, even more so than tap water.
Well, the good thing is at least we have a well. At least it's not chlorinated some poor people that don't have well water, which unfortunately, it sounds like we might be getting that ourselves against our better wishes, because if you have a certain amount of people that vote for, you know, good water or water that you pay for, then you have to take it.
Yes. So that's advantages. Oh, the other thing we didn't talk about, too, the classes coming up. Oh, we were going to talk a little bit about September, our Harvest Festival, and that's going to start in September. We're going to have several weeks every Saturday doing something special for Harvest Festival.
Is that 4 weeks?
I think it's 4 weeks, yeah, starting in September. And we have a program called Community Days, and Don is going to be with us on the second hour, and we'll talk more about it, but that's the abbreviated version is communities can call Donna here at the Garden Center, and together they can work on putting together a program where we do a class, whether it's hands-on like a make and take or a lecture or whatever topic they would select. And then you have, how long is it, a week that you get coupons?
I think so,
then
yeah.
You can come in and you get a special discount just for your community.
Yeah.
So it's really a fun time because you can turn it into a fun event. You get to meet your neighbors. You get to have a class on things that you're interested in.
What would you have a class on if you were in charge?
If something I would want to learn?
Uh-huh.
What would be... Well, my favorite topic is always what's new.
New and exciting.
Out there. Yeah, what's
so
new.
So it'd be all about me then.
New
and exciting.
For anybody that doesn't know, you've been with me for about 45 years. So.
45?
Yeah.
I thought it was only 41.
Married.
Oh. You count even before marriage?
Well, now? If you're talking about new and exciting... You may have been more new and exciting.
Probably was.
Then.
Yeah.
So now I totally, and there was something important I was going to tell you. I forget. Overwintering tropicals we're going to talk about in a little bit.
And I think it's also important not only how to overwinter them, but also how to get them to rebloom.
Tropicals?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So we can talk about both in the same segment, but I think a lot of people. You know, they have their orchids or they have their clivia or they have amaryllis, but they're not sure what to do to make them rebloom. And I think that's important.
Yes. In fact, last Saturday I went to a wedding that night. You went down with the family for vacation, but I went to the wedding and it was my sister's in-laws. And most of that family is from Florida. And they gave me the most gorgeous amaryllis. The bulb is like three times
this. You didn't tell me that.
They had given it to me before. It's the one that's in the greenhouse.
Oh,
so, but I was making the point that that has been growing outside in their yard, because amaryllis, they are an outside plant.
Okay.
And so I can't wait to have you bring that back into bloom. It's going to be pretty.
Thanks for the challenge.
Yeah.
You think I can do it?
Most definitely.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And so, and I had given them, we had a avocado tree, and we had it for how many years?
10 at least.
Yeah, and it was beautiful, but it never bloomed. And I think one, it needs a mate, a male and a female cross pollinate, and it needs pollinators, and it wasn't.
So what happened?
They have it in their yard.
Is it in a pot or in the ground?
In the ground, and it's healthy, but it hasn't put on fruit yet. But they've only had it for a year, so I'm figuring this year.
But do they have another one for the cross pollination?
Well, there'll be enough in the area, I'm sure.
You're sure?
Well, I'm thinking so. And thinking of tropicals, I went up to the University of Delaware, and they had the Delaware Nursery and Landscape Association meeting, and one of the programs was talking about the plot. They have a trial area where they trial new annuals, and there's a I can't think of it. What's the
You're
name
losing
of that?
You had too much
we have
vacation.
Been on vacation this week, and my mind is still there. Lantana. May be winter hardy.
Get out.
Because Lantana is a zone 8, we're a zone 7, and we've talked about that before, but this one may be just enough hardy that it'll make it through our winter.
Do you remember the name of it?
No, I don't. It's up there in this garden, and he said he would let us know how it overwinters. Or you can get online and see information about the University of Delaware test trials, annual trials, and that would be very interesting because, you know, just a bit south of us, Lantana are perennials.
Hmm.
And that's a great plant. We use that a lot.
We do.
Mm-hmm. So,
did you see any other annuals in the trout garden that caught your attention?
There are, yes. There were some. I think a few things that we knew, the Calabrosia, the million bells,
yes,
were in the trout garden, and they had said.
How they look.
Terrible, because you don't put them in the ground. You put them in containers.
I wonder if people know that.
And, well, that's what I'm trying to get out, because you know, I don't want them to buy things. There's some good plants, but you have to know how to use them. And that's one is great in a hanging basket, because we saw those in Bethany on our way. Bethany, the kudos shout out to the wonderful people in Bethany that keep the landscape so beautiful. Their hanging baskets and in-ground flowers are gorgeous. So I hear the music, and it's not just in my head. We're going to take a break, and it is in my head. It's in my ears. And we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to The Potting Shed. It's August 17th, and we're live here at East Coast Garden Center, and you're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed, and I'm Valerie Cordry, next to Rick Cordry, and Lauren's at the controls, and Katie back at the, Kate back at the studio. And we just got back from vacation. Actually, this morning we got up early. We've learned, and it works really well with our family. In our family, there's 10 of us, the kids and their spouses, and we have 2 grandchildren, and we all went to Ocean City and had a condo there.
Yeah.
And had so much fun because you live at the beach, and lots of times you don't take advantage of, we're in a beautiful, beautiful area.
Well, the
area.
Nice part is you can park the car and you're done.
Yes, that's nice.
You don't
and
have to fight the traffic. You don't have to worry about it. If you want to ride somewhere, just get an Uber. And
we figured we have 2 extra days, the day there and the day home, because we're home in an hour, and you still get the entire day. In fact, half of them are still back there. At the condo,
well, the
which
that,
I would have been still
the
too.
Ones that have any sense are still sleeping.
Yes. So, and we live in a beautiful, beautiful area. Last year we spent the week in Rehoboth, but I had not been in the water, and you still haven't been. But
I went in the bay.
You did, yes. We spent time on the beach, time in the ocean. We rented a boat because with our business, we never really had summertime. It wasn't worth getting We've never had a boat, in other words. So we rented a boat, took 4 hours, and went out in the bay. And that's completely different look when you're out in the bay looking back at Ocean City. And it's a whole different perspective. And our son-in-law is a riverboat pilot, so he was in charge, and I felt...
Yeah, but you were trying to be like the little first mate.
I just said no. I wanted to learn. They had a quick learning class, and they said...
You had to be in it.
And I went to it because I think I take any opportunity there is to learn something new. And so I learned about...
Mind.
And I said, well, what happens to him? We'd all be saying if something happened...
I know how to drive a boat.
Well, I didn't know
a
that.
A pontoon boat? Come
well,
on.
It's not
rocket science.
Well, okay.
I mean, I had a boat when I was a teenager.
Red, right, returning, right? Red, right, returning.
I don't know what that means.
It means you better keep your buoys on your right when you're returning, and what side do you pass the boat on, and all those things that are important. And hopefully everybody else out on the water knows it too.
But probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
And I know plants. I don't know water skills, so I won't give you any.
You can swim good.
Oh, yeah, I definitely can swim. I can swim, yes. I could have swim
You could
swim
have swam the shore from anywhere we were.
Anywhere
so.
We were, you could swim
or,
to shore.
Or walk to shore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was fun. And I always learn something. One, I got my Venmo figured out, so now the kids don't, if you pay people,
okay,
you have
stop.
To pay Venmo.
Stop.
Stop. No.
What is a Venmo?
It's the way kids and Sadie's looking at us, because I'm sure she uses it. Now they don't write checks or give cash. It's on your phone. It's an app on your phone. So Blake paid for the boat, and then we all Venmoed him back our percentage of the cost. And so it's just an easy way to trade money back and forth.
Excuse me while I go back to my cave.
No. Speaking of cave, this is the funny one. I learned this from my four-year-old, and it's a song, and it's called Old Town Road. And I didn't realize it starts. You'll know it if you heard it. The first one.
Maybe we can play it as our coming back
song.
Oh,
maybe. Yeah, I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road. But what I didn't know, and Sadie, she's smiling because it's funny, but it gets in your head, and then you can't get rid of it, which is the worst part. But for 4 months, Old Town Road has defied all expectations. It's the number one song in history, so it's been on the Billboard Hot 100 for 19 weeks, so it's broken all records, which
What's
is crazy.
What's that got to do with
crazy.
A cave?
Going back in the cave, because I didn't know it. I didn't know the song. I didn't know the song, and now it's in my head, and then we would change the words, you know. And what I didn't know is his name is Little Nas, something like that. Does that Little Nas? And the tune, he bought it for $30 on the internet, the tune.
Hmm.
So he put the words on it, and then he got the tune. Hmm. And then I don't know if he did it originally, but the one I saw, Billy Ray Cyrus was in with him on the song too. So anyhow, that so
I could sing it to you.
You could. I'd if you want to, you're welcome to. Well, I can't even carry that tune, but
you can.
It's in my head. It's in my head. So we had fun with that. Lots of fun. What did you learn on vacation?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing?
Yeah.
We can talk about plants.
I learned some good restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
We went to Sunset Grill. That was my favorite.
So what we do on family vacation.
Well, that's not my favorite. Your night was actually my favorite.
Yes.
We went to Blue Coast for a wine dinner, which was amazing.
We had...
Probably the best dinner I've ever eaten in my life, close to it.
It was. It was the Blue Coast in Bethany, and there's an upstairs deck for one table. And so the 10 of us got up there, and we spent the evening. And, which you didn't know, it was a meteor shower. And it was almost a full moon. So,
and nobody saw, guess what, Lawrence? Nobody saw a meteor except for Valerie. She
I saw
see,
one. I
you
saw
say you saw one,
one
but I would think it's debatable whether you actually saw it because you wanted to see one for sure. And
I
you
did.
Went, oh, there goes a meteor. And everybody looked, but it wasn't there.
I did want to see one. So maybe my mind played tricks on me, but I did want to see one. But it was a beautiful
moon.
Still,
it was a beautiful
evening. You're going to
still
evening.
Say you saw one.
I'm going to say, I thought 100%. I did. 100%. I thought I did.
Okay.
So.
There you go. That's a good way to qualify.
Okay. So you're listening to The Potting Shed. We might have some interesting facts when we come back, or
probably
maybe not. We'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch. Now, can't nobody tell me nothing.
Goodness, now get back down in your seat. You're up dancing, acting crazy. You love that song.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
It's the kind of song.
I've never seen you move like that in 41 plus years.
No, Sadie and I both agreed over the break that it gets in your head and it drives you absolutely insane.
So it should be called the Ricky song. Gets in your head and drives you insane.
Absolutely insane. Yes, because you can't get rid of that tune. So, anyhow, and like I said, and this artist, he shot out of nowhere with this song and became an overnight sensation. So it was interesting. My Apple News comes on my phone, and just by coincidence that there was a whole article about this song, and we had been laughing and playing it all weekend.
Now let's see what he does with his overnight sensation ship.
Well, that's true. That's
if
true.
He
yeah.
pulls
yeah.
it into a career,
right?
And not be
probably
able to...
made enough money on one song.
I was going to say if he did well, he can retire
it.
Right now.
One and done.
And I don't know what I'm talking about because I don't know.
There you go. There's a statement of the year.
Because I don't know music, but I thought wasn't Billy Ray kind of a one song person too? Because he was achy breaky.
Yeah,
and I don't
that's
know
the only
ever,
song I remember. But I'm not a country music efficient.
And
aficionado.
So what a coincidence it is, and I'm sure it's not a coincidence, but that he was selected to be his partner in this. So anyhow, just life is interesting. You never know. There's the takeoff of this. You never know what's around the corner, right?
That's true.
Yeah. So. Anything that you want to share from the vacation?
No, I'm pretty much done after that song. I think
okay.
Call it a day.
Yes, we had fun because we would. The tune is catchy, so we would change the words.
Well, the key thing is our little granddaughter Cora, who's
4 years
absolutely
old.
Adorable, just sings that song like she's the artist. I mean, it cracks me up every time she sings.
Oh yeah, yeah. She makes it her own. That's right. For sure. And she likes to sing, which is fun. So, yeah.
And she didn't get that from our side of the family.
No,
definitely not.
Definitely not.
No.
So let's talk about when we took our walks, which we like to do, and you like to get your 10,000 steps
gotta get it,
in.
Got to get it.
Yeah.
I'm shooting for October 1st.
Yeah.
You know what that is, right? Every single day since last October 1st, I've done 10,000 steps. Every single day. Christmas, New Year's, doesn't matter. Don't do it.
Zing.
So I'm proud, and I think part of having exercise be a part of your life is you teach others, because I know all our children, I'm very proud to say, got up and had, one jogged, and there was an exercise room there. They went down to the exercise room. Some swam. Everybody had some form
played
of exercise.
Played tennis three times.
Yeah, we played tennis. At some form of exercise every day.
Right.
And they made sure, that they even had the, exercise on their phone where they would,
so they let the phone do the exercise instead of them having to do it? That sounds like my
time. There's a lot of good exercise routines on the phone. So.
Remember when we used to lay in the living room and turn on Jane Fonda exercise tape and used to make me do it?
No, I don't ever remember you doing the Jane.
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious. Really?
I did it every single day
you
with
you. You did your exercise
routines? I promise.
Routines? Okay. Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
You remember those tapes?
I certainly remember those tapes. My goodness, yes,
I
do.
You probably just didn't notice I was sitting there.
Probably. Yeah. I remember that's when you had those big puffy socks that you put around your ankles, and that was part of the exercise attire.
I didn't have those.
No, the men didn't. The women did.
Oh.
So, but anyhow, in our walks, we saw one of the plants that it's taken a long time, and it's fun to watch the progression as people discover a plant is a Ruellia. I think they call that a Mexican petunia.
They do.
And they come in pink and purple. I only saw purples there. But they do wonderfully. They're a really tough plant, and they like the heat. They like the sun.
You know they can grow in water?
Yes, yes.
They're a palm plant, too, which is crazy.
Yeah. I didn't see so many this year, but remember last year we saw the snake plant. It's a kind of grass that grows in the water, too.
I don't know what you're talking.
We have that with our pond plants, and I'll have to think.
But it's in the snake plant family?
Not Sansevieria. Okay. It's called a snake plant.
I got you.
And then Vitex, which is another plant that I think people are beginning to know, the Vitex chase plant, which
chase
they have.
Tree.
Chase tree. They have shrub versions now.
Now, see, you always say that, and you thought ours was dwarf, but do you think it is, and the other ones even get bigger? Because ours is still pretty big.
Well, the dwarf ones are supposed to be 4 to 5 feet.
What do you think the ours are, like 6 to 7?
Yeah, but we've never trimmed it either, and you certainly
do
trim it. Oh,
every
do you
year.
Trim it? Oh, okay. Well, maybe it wasn't a dwarf one.
You didn't notice me on the video, and you didn't notice me trimming our Vitex. Yeah.
Okay. The evergreen that does wonderfully there, and I saw this in New Jersey after Hurricane Sandy, and it still survived, were the Hollywood junipers. Mm. What are some of the other names for that?
Torlusa?
Yeah. Torlusa, Hollywood juniper. And that I saw that all over, and that does really well. Begonias. Saw a lot of begonias.
Yeah.
Crepe myrtles. Right. They're
and
blooming.
They're kind of in their glory right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're really in full bloom.
Inkberries.
Good plant.
How
about the new inkberry, though, from Proven Winners?
Yeah.
The strong box.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I love it. I mean, the reason inkberry is so popular is because it's so hardy and it's, you know, keeps that beautiful green color. But the problem with the old inkberries was as it matures, it loses its bottom leaves. So it looks kind of bare at the bottom. With the new inkberries, strong box, they keep the foliage all the way to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So they look like a Japanese holly a little bit.
I was just going to say that. I mean, if you like you look at it and say, oh, it's a green.
But I think they're more tolerant to wet feet.
Oh, definitely.
And
definitely.
That's the advantage over the Japanese holly,
yes.
Depending on your exposure or what kind of conditions you're trying to put it into.
Yeah, I think inkberries will be
all right,
used
let me ask
more.
You a question.
Okay.
Do you think more plants in 2019 this summer died from...
Oh, this will be a good question.
Thank you. Thanks for interjecting. All right, let me start over. So how many plants, all the plants that died in 2019 in the landscape, let's say fairly new plants, but not necessarily.
Okay.
How many of those plants do you think died because they got dry because of the hot summer, or they got over-irrigated and drowned?
Over-irrigated and drowned is what
Lawrence
happened.
Is saying the same thing.
I concur.
You know what? In my brain, I think you're 100% correct, and I think it's way more died from being overwatered than underwatered. I mean, not like it was 49-51. I'm talking like 80-20. Because if you get a plant that's dry and it wilts down to almost nothing, you can bring that guy back to life. You drown the plant, it's done.
But it's not easy, and I will say it's not easy, particularly if you're not used to plants. And the other thing that happened that people forget is we had a wet start. So a lot of the plants may have lost root. And so when they're losing root, they're already going in stressed. And then after they lost where the roots got soggy and died, so they're going in stressed, and then we get that 100-degree, 100-degree, 100-degree day after day.
Say it one more time.
100-degree day after day.
Yep.
And puts it in further stress. And then they start watering it, saying, you know, it's dry, it needs it. But then the poor roots hadn't had a chance to recover. So, yeah,
right.
I think it's been a tough year.
Well, and I think a lot of people also don't know how to run their irrigation system.
Yeah.
You know, people overwater through irrigation thinking, well, if it's hot, it has to be dry, and it's not necessarily the case.
And a lot of people don't have the control of their irrigation system.
See,
they're in communities,
if I was
right?
a gardener, and you're right, because if I was a gardener and I didn't have control over my irrigation system, I'm somewhat doomed from the beginning. Because if you see that it's getting overwatered, you have no control over it.
Yeah.
And the other thing, what's the other thing that's really, really bad in a lot of new neighborhoods?
Soil compaction.
Thank you.
Poor soil.
Thank you.
The soil that was good has been stripped and taken away.
Yes.
But definitely the compaction part of it.
And
yeah.
I think a lot of times you're planting new plant material in fill dirt. It's not topsoil. Like you said, they're in big piles where you know, they've taken it off and they've moved it to another part of the community or sold it off or whatever. But topsoil is a rarity in a lot of new communities now.
In our yard, we've been gardening for, 41 years in that yard? 40 years in that yard. So it started, and we were lucky. It started out, it was a farm in the woods, and so we had decent soil to begin with. But every year we put compost and mulch and fertilizer and keep building up the soil. And that year after year after year, we've gotten really nice soil.
Well, if you love good soil, instead of using hardwood mulch, I think what has made our soil so wonderful is pine fines.
And I like pine fines because they're easier to work. Like hardwood's tough on your fingers, but the pine fines are ground down more, and they're easier to dig in if you don't have gloves on, which you should have gloves on, but I don't most of the time. And then you'd say, most of the time I'm not out there.
That's I didn't say it. Have you noticed I'm being good?
Yeah.
I did not say a word.
Being good is being good. But when you're making faces, that's the same as words. So I know what you're thinking.
You do?
Yes, most of the time.
Okay.
So the other thing we saw a lot of are tropicals. I think tropicals have definitely come into here to stay for summertime because if people want that summertime tropical feel, and saw a lot of tropicals.
I mean, how about the tropicals at Secrets?
They were amazing.
If you work at Secrets, call in and tell me how many tractor trailer loads of tropicals you put in your establishment every year, because we had lunch there one day and it was ridiculous.
You feel like you're in a tropical jungle.
You do.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, it gives it privacy, an open beach that turned into a tropical jungle.
Right.
A pretty tropical jungle.
They need some parrots or some monkeys or something in there, though.
There were a lot of monkeys in there.
You're right. You are so right.
So
not many parrots, but a lot of monkeys.
Oh no, I heard a lot of people talking like a parrot. So
you were after your second drink.
I didn't have any.
I know. You did water.
I did.
It's Secrets. The only person that ever ordered a water at Secrets.
I did. It was at lunchtime.
Is that a bar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have entertainment. That you can bring your boat. We brought our boat up there the day we rented our boat. We brought it up and tied it up, and we stayed on it. But they'd shuttle you back and forth from your boat, like out in the middle of the bay, into the Secrets bar, and they have entertainment. They have a restaurant.
But Rick and I were the oldest people in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it was so depressing.
It's depressing.
I was so old. I really do think I was we went in there Saturday.
You
when
think?
We got there.
I could tell.
There might have been a couple that were older than me. What are you talking about? I could have been like second oldest.
You could have been second oldest.
Well, if I was second oldest, you were third oldest.
I know I was, yes. But anyhow, it was fun. We had a lot of fun. And so they had a lot of tropicals. But I saw tropicals on balconies. And even when Mom and I went to Canada last year, they had tropicals in Canada for their summer landscape. So lots of
cold tropicals.
So we're going to have a break shortly, but when we come back, let's talk a little bit about thinking about bringing your plants in, what to save, what to throw out, how to save it, what you need to do.
Okay.
And what you need to do in August, other than just relaxing and enjoying summer and making sure that you know summer was here, because it's a lot of fun and beautiful weather. So we'll take a short break. You're listening to The Potting Shed. We'll be back in a minute.
Val's got a new theme song. Thank the Cora Lee and Grant Hershelman.
Oh, God.
How was it?
That That is a synopsis of my week's vacation. And you're wondering why I'm stuttering today and my mind's not working. I have. That was my kind of vacation.
Well, thanks to Grant and Cora for giving us that fun time.
That was fun. And thanks to Grant, we played family volleyball.
He was so good.
He was so good, yes. And the fun thing is all the family is competitive. And so,
except for me.
There were 10 of us. Yeah, they chose teams, and so you had the extra guy on your team.
Who did?
You did. Somehow you had an. Oh no, you were
a my team. What are you talking about? Like we were on two. See again, I'm invisible. Yeah. I didn't do the video with you. You didn't see me other times, and we weren't even on the same volleyball team.
Well, Grant, who is our 6-year-old grandson, carried your weight.
Yeah, well, I hope so, because I played terrible.
Yeah, he did.
Talking about weight, do you think you gained any weight? Because last night's dinner was amazing.
Yes. Well, let's talk about, so what we do, which is a lot of fun, is each couple or person chooses a night, chooses a day, and they pick the lunch and they pick the dinner and sometimes the activity, which makes it a lot of fun. So you have a lot of diversity. So what about last night?
Well, Paula, our sweetheart from Connecticut, my son Chance's girlfriend, came all the way down from Connecticut to spend time with us. And yesterday they had
Chance.
Yeah, I just said Chance.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Jump in there whenever you need to.
I have to.
Okay, so yesterday was a crazy day because we went out on the boat for 4 hours, and then we went to the beach for a couple hours, and then we played volleyball, which I guess I wasn't there for an hour. And then they had a seafood feast last night. So they went out, and they got shrimp, which is my favorite, and then they got hard-shell crabs, which is everybody's favorite, and then they had king crab claws, which is, I think, your favorite.
No, snow crab.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, what is it? Snow crab legs.
Oh, okay. And then they had, and then they got two giant pizzas to go along with it, so that was fun.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Oh, and tomato mozzarella.
Oh, Casey made that.
With pesto, because when we went to Blue Coast, the chef gave us some homemade pesto that was his mother's or grandmother's recipe. That was absolutely delicious. So,
It was fun.
Yeah. Well, I think if you eat well, but you eat balanced, because I don't think we ever ate dessert. Ice cream now and again.
Every night. We never had dessert either. Every night we had ice cream, but we didn't have dessert.
Well, we swam and we ran and we played tennis. And every time we played tennis,
it did rain.
Can I
just tell you one more thing?
I forgot something.
We didn't run either. Why do you say all this stuff we didn't do?
The girls ran.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
but we didn't.
I was talking for everybody.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. My mistake.
Yeah. So
you were talking about overwintering tropicals.
Yes, because we saw a lot of tropicals. So now is getting to be the point where you need to think about what you want to save and what you want to toss. And if you're going
to. Why did you look at me when you said that? It's not very nice.
Because you're still in the iffy pile.
I'm in the iffy tropical pile?
You're in the iffy pile. We'll see. We'll see how you perform.
Okay. I'll try to do my best.
Okay. So what do you think? What are some of your suggestions?
Well, I mean, there's some that just don't make sense. I mean, if you like doing that kind of thing, it's fine. But for as inexpensive as they are to buy new, a lot of times they don't do well in the winter because you can't give them enough heat and you can't give them enough light. So, like hibiscus is an example. I'd never try to overwinter a hibiscus, probably. You could, but.
All of them you can. And I think it boils down to what your hobby is and what you enjoy. Because if you like the challenge and you enjoy plants and so that's the one point. And if the other thing is if you want it one and done and then toss it and start fresh.
Well, then you don't have all the time and effort to take care of it all winter either.
Yeah. So it kind of depends on your personality.
Right. Right.
And the room in your house.
True.
The sun exposure of your house.
Yep.
But
well, ones that are definitely worth overwintering are obviously your orchids.
Yes.
If you have any orchids, they're very easy to find a place in your house to put them on a windowsill somewhere to give them some indirect light. Clivia, if you ever get into Clivia, which is one of my favorites, they're definitely, because they bloom in the winter, which is really cool. When you're looking for that winter flower, it's the plant of choice as far as I'm concerned. And then the other one I really think a lot of people toss, which I think is really easy tipped over winter's amaryllis. And I don't know if you've been in the greenhouse lately, but our amaryllis right now, I fed them 2 weeks ago. They're 3 feet tall.
Yeah, we're going to have a beautiful selection of amaryllis.
The key to Clivia and amaryllis is to make sure that you reduce the water in the winter. So like on the amaryllis, as an example, I don't water them after September 1st. And they will die down, appear to die down to nothing. There won't be any green foliage on the bulbs. And then I start watering them around Christmas, and then we always have amaryllis that are in full bloom at Christmas time.
The other one that you love, and is I don't think it's so bad, are the bananas.
Bananas are pretty easy. Yeah, I know Jake, when Jake was on the radio with you, he always overwintered his bananas with good luck. And
why don't you talk about how you overwintered the banana?
Well, I cut them all the way back to about 2 foot, and as long as they don't freeze, they don't really need to have a lot of light. Just put them in a container and put them in the garage. I know somebody used to even put them in their crawl space.
Yeah.
But as long as you don't let them freeze, you should be fine.
So we'll take a short break. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed. We'll be back in a minute.
The program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 105.9.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed, and we learn a lot in between segments on the breaks. Donna just joined us, and she's going to be with us for the second segment. Rick's going to finish talking about overwintering tropicals, but we found out that Donna likes Eric Clapton, who's one of my absolute favorites.
Eric Clapton.
There's a bio on him in the movies or on TV or whatever, the 12 chords or 12 steps or something like that.
I'll have to check that
out. It's his life story, and that's quite interesting. I like Let It Grow. I use that as a theme for the Potting Shed a lot. We'll have to get that back, Lawrence. Yes. Let It Grow. And you liked which one?
I love Layla. In the long version. I could play it continuously.
It's an interesting story too behind it. But we'll get back to overwintering tropicals, right, Rick?
Whatever you say.
Rick's making his faces at me again.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not that good, so I'm all ears.
Oh, you're good. You're really good on the radio.
No, I meant overwintering tropicals.
Oh, okay. I got you now. So what do you want?
So we talked about bananas and
quickly.
And I had said earlier we're doing the raffle on bougainvillea. Do you remember? Right. See how I forget you? Do you remember all the years I had the bougainvillea
in the living room and it went to the ceiling?
Yes,
and it was red.
And it climbed all over the blinds.
Right.
But those plastic blinds, you know, that were so popular, they still are, but they were super popular when we got
super
married.
Super popular.
Yes. And so it finally just got to the point where it was just too wild and crazy.
Well, there you are again. So, you've gotten to that point yourself.
And the other thing, thinking about things to save, definitely, some people save them in the ground. I saw a lot of cannas on our vacation, and cannas will overwinter it in some areas, but they're really a zone 8. And so if you want to save them, you should think about getting like a frost, cutting them back, digging up the bulb and keeping it in a frost-free place over the winter.
Like your caladiums. I'm going to save our caladiums this year because we got a whole big giant pot.
Ooh,
I did a really big pot
caladiums.
Of just caladiums, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Now, do you think gladiolas are worth saving?
Actually, we kept ours in the ground last year, and every one of them came back.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing with
that made me glads.
That made you glads. Good, and I'm glads you're glads. But and the glads were pretty, and that happens in Delaware. We have these nice winters, and then all of a sudden we'll have like one to forget. Like, the was it the year we got married? We had that terrible snow.
There are a lot of things happened weird that year.
Okay. So.
And I think it's also worth mentioning, you talk about the bananas. There is a banana that's hardy in
yes,
our area.
Yes, yeah. Yes,
so why
yes.
don't you mention that?
There is a banana that's hardy in this area.
Right. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for reminding me.
You're
no,
welcome.
No, seriously. And they were hard to get a hold of this year.
They were.
For whatever
they were non-existent. We checked everywhere.
Production. So, yeah. But next year we'll work harder and make sure we have
and
them.
And what are they called?
Hardy bananas.
No.
Baju. Baju yeah. is the generic name for banana.
No,
so,
it's not.
Baju is the generic name. Musu Baju.
Right. Baju is the one.
Okay.
Musu is the,
banana
right.
cultivar.
Right.
Okay. So we will do our darndest.
The sad thing about them is, not sad, but the great thing about them is they come back every year. Mm-hmm. And they thicken and get fuller.
They multiply like
they
crazy.
They multiply like crazy.
Yes.
The bad thing is a lot of people like the bananas that have color in the leaves, like oh. red. We have a...
These are green. And they don't produce fruit.
Well, thank you for that little input. That was wonderful. I love it when you jump in.
As opposed to your favorite one in our yard,
which is
the Thai banana. It's black Thai.
Yep.
Oh, I never thought about black Thai.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very formal.
Yes. Okay.
Yep. And it has cufflinks, so it's really nice.
Yes.
But no, this black Thai we've had, what do you think?
That wasn't very nice of putting your cufflinks out there that I gave you.
Well, it just kind of fit.
Okay.
So wait a minute. Go back to it. So how long do you think we've had it? Yeah.
8 years?
Yeah. I was going to say 8. And this thing right now, and we cut it back to 2 feet, uh-huh. throw it in a pot with a little bit of pine fines, and that's it. And it kind of stays dormant all winter.
Uh-huh.
And then we put it back in the ground, and first day we don't worry about frost. And that I'll take a picture of it. I took one last year. Val's a good little 5-footer, so she's a good little mark of how tall this.
Yeah.
You know, she's like 5'3".
Yes.
Okay. And so this thing is at least 12 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing how tall it is.
No, and I have to say this because, you know, when you've lived with someone for so long, every time we are in the car together and we're leaving the house and we're in the car and there's the black tie banana, he says, look at that. Just look at that.
Well, she won't look at it.
It's like, okay, thank you for the 50th time.
You really don't like it?
And then, no, but he's got this routine. And then we get farther up and he loves our sedums, the lemon coral sedums.
Yeah, they've done
and then
really.
He says, look at those. They're so pretty.
It's
and it's like, I might, because
phone.
I might be doing something really important.
You're on your phone looking at your emails.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I need to take a short detour on the way home tonight.
Exactly. It's beautiful.
And swing through and
look
at that black tie.
If you let me know you're coming, I'll give you a private tour.
But I should do that to you. Like,
do
you're
it.
Driving and I'll say, look at that. And
do
all
it.
The things that, and it's the same thing.
Okay,
day
so
after
you know the things that I like. What would you want me to look at?
What would I like you to
yeah,
you my phone.
Fun. I probably won't do that.
Okay. No,
so anyhow.
That's very nice. I enjoy it.
Well, it's fun because it makes the yard look, like
oh,
you
yeah.
said, tropical for
yeah.
the summer.
Well, and certain. I like to look for figs. I'm hoping we're going to get figs this year. But somebody brought
Pam. Pam
brought
some
wonderful
in.
Figs. Yeah. I'm envious of Pam's figs, but.
We have 20 on our plant. Now, whether they mature enough
mature
to eat or not,
then.
I don't know. But 20 is terrible as far as how many it should be because this plant is 8
this
feet
one's
tall.
Old. This is an old plant, too.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's 8 feet tall, and it's probably 6 feet wide, and we got 20
it's a black
puny little figs.
Yeah. So.
And Val, you know what Val does? She'll go out there in the morning because she gets up before me. She'll go to the fig tree, and she'll eat one. No, because the night before we did the yard walk. So we'll know it's there, and that thing will be juicy and turning purple and delicious. And she'll go out real early in the morning, eat that rascal, and then when I get up, she goes, let's go check the figs. So go out and look at the figs, and that one fig will be gone, and she goes, those darn birds got the fig again. It's so frustrating, Lauren. I don't know what to do with it.
There is truth in that story.
There's a lot of it. What do you mean there is truth? It is the truth.
Okay. Yeah,
and then she
I'm
tries to blame
sure
it on a
that.
Squirrel or a bird or some yeah. other animal that's not even likes figs.
Okay. So thinking of squirrels,
you were thinking of squirrels?
No, but they were talking about squirrel damage.
Oh.
Where
yeah.
Oh, we did say that last week. And the other thing that was in the newsletter from the University of Maryland was, and this happened to us 1 year, thank goodness, hopefully I haven't seen it since, European hornets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait a minute. What happened to the squirrels?
Oh, well, somebody
we
talked about it last week.
Somebody asked the question
yeah.
about why squirrels were, you know, pulling the bark off their trees, but we didn't know the answer. and we talked about it afterwards, and it's mainly two things. Like you said, Val, they use it to line the interior of their nests, and then they also, and it's always thin bark trees because it's real easy to do, and they also, when you pull back the bark, the cadmium is exposed, and you've got the sugars there, and they like the taste of it.
Mm.
And actually,
so they actually eat on the tree?
They chew. They strip it with their claws,
really?
And will then go add. But they don't unless they've girdled the tree. Then generally,
it grows
doesn't,
back.
Yeah, it's not that much damage. But,
and then they were saying, what do you do about it? And one person said, well, you get traps and you trap them and you relocate them. So that's it. But these European hornets, one year we had difficulties with them, and I know people have, and they particularly like lilacs and river birch, and they'll strip the plants. Susan Monday just walked in with a beautiful begonia.
That's canary wings.
Yes,
that's one of our favorites.
Susan, do you want to grab the mic for a minute? And Susan, if you want to see Susan Monday, she's here on weekends, right?
Yes, I am. Hello. Good morning. I'm going to buy this. It's a dollar, apparently.
Oh, and that is
that's an a great
awesome
houseplant.
Yeah. It'll
yes.
get out.
It
no.
is an awesome, awesome houseplant. In fact, don't put it out in the sun because it will burn.
It looks very, it looks fragile.
It gets burn marks if you put it in the sun. Burn marks, yes.
Wow.
So you don't want burn marks on
your houseplants.
You're
saying that I can keep this in the house and it will continue to bloom?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it
all
is
winter.
Gorgeous all winter long. It makes
and then
a
put
wonderful
it back outside
houseplant.
Next year.
May I ask you something? Tom, the sales manager, gave us a bottle of something called Organic Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Would I put that on this?
You certainly could, because that
would
encourage...
Not on it.
Not directly on it.
You want to feed it around the
follow
around
the directions.
The bottom.
Anyway, I think I got the last one, so don't come rushing. Well, come rushing here, because there are a lot of things to buy. Annuals to buy, but I think I got the last one of this particular one. It caught my eye.
Beautiful.
Well, we'll definitely have them next year because it's a plant that we love. We just have to get the word out that it will not take direct sun.
If you put it in direct sun, it'll die.
Yeah. But well, we use this on our patio and then bring them in on our porch patio, covered porch patio.
And Susan, if you're excited about it being a houseplant, I've got a begonia that I have probably had more than 20 years.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
What's the kind is it?
I don't know.
Is it a regular begonia like this or a Rex begonia?
It's a Rex begonia.
Yeah, I love the Rex. My favorite Rex begonia is one called Escargot, which was used to be hard to get, but now we can get it pretty easily. And it looks like it's got that, like the Escargot shell where it makes that.
The swirl.
The swirl, yeah. And with Rex begonias, the leaves are so beautiful, you don't even need the blossoms.
Yeah, actually belonged to my grandmother.
Really?
Ah,
yeah.
I love those plants that have family
And I would put
history.
It out on the deck.
Will it take full sun?
No, I would keep it. We had a big pine tree over the deck, so it'd get shade from that,
right.
And then bring it in every year, and it's made the moves with me and everything.
There's
a couple times I thought I was going to lose it, but yeah.
Certain plants like the Christmas cactus. That's another one that I see people. Or the jade plant.
Yeah, I've got some of her Christmas cactus too.
You know what I want to do, and we got to do it. It's going to be some work involved, but I want to get Christmas time or sometime when it's a little bit slower. I want everybody that works at East Coast to bring in their oldest plant.
Ah.
Because Valerie and I have.
That would be fun.
And we'll line them all up, and we'll say how old or how long we've had them. Because we got a philodendron that's 40 years old. So,
whoa.
Because we went to Williamsburg, Virginia.
That was our annual vacation when we first got married.
Right.
We'd go for a long weekend in Williamsburg and go to the pottery, and they had like
an
almost dead plant area. And we'd get the plants and bring them back to life. So, all right, we'll take a short break. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back. You're listening to the Delmarva Potting Shed, and so much more to talk about. Donna's joined us for this second hour, and I think we'll go over just a quick review of what's happening here. First of all, Susan Monday just walked in with her dollar annual, and a lot of her annuals make great houseplants.
It is dollar days of August, and so all of the annuals are on sale for a dollar, regardless of the size. So it's a great deal, and so many of them look beautiful. I mean, I've seen people filling up, wagons and just, pulling them through. There's still plenty to choose from.
I know a friend of mine had I was with her, and before we started the sale, and she said, I've got a lot of annuals I really want to replace. And I said, well, it's the time of year we put things on sale. So
yeah, I haven't had a chance to. I've got some that I need to freshen up at the house. And also, I know that that we're coming out of tropical season, but Labor Day weekend's coming up, and if you're doing something out on your patio or deck and you need nice pop of color, we still have the BOGOs going on the tropicals. And
the buy one, get one.
Yeah, it's instant. So a lot of things. And the mums. We've put the mums out, starting to bring them out as we're transitioning from, their summer plants into fall. So if you want to get an early start on that. The early bloomers haven't really started. You can see the colors slightly, but
what's nice is to get them in the ground, get those roots established, and then it makes it a perennial mum because the roots are established, mm-hmm. and then it'll come back next year because it's settled in and does real
and
well.
And that's key because a lot of people don't quite understand the significance of that root growth in the fall. Mm-hmm. It really just, it changes everything.
And our falls are lovely. They they just are so mild, and it's perfect for plant root development. Yeah. And we've got two great sale areas. We've got the tree area, the tree sale, which is
trees are moving right along, and nice, good-sized trees. And this is a perfect time of the year.
Great discounts.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we also have the greenhouse filled with
the Revival.
The Revival greenhouse.
I like the name of that.
And that's been very, I've heard a lot of good comments about
and
people being happy with that.
The prices are really good.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of areas that the Scotch broom just kind of like gave it up. Mm. So I think I'm going to take them out as much as I love them, and I'm going to hit the Revival area to see it. I'm a bargain shopper.
And you also are working on, which I guess, is it a year now that you've done it, the community days?
Actually, we're in year three.
Oh, my goodness, time flies. Well, explain what a community day is.
So community days, like I said, this is the third year. And what we did is to try and have a customer appreciation, but really focused on a particular community. And because we're finding with all the people that are moving in, we certainly have our base of customers who know us, but we also want to introduce ourselves to the new folks that are coming in. So we work on it on a community basis. And again, it's appreciation for the existing customers and new to introduce us to them. We also try and put together a class that would really be the community would find of interest. We do lectures, we do make and takes, it's something that has really grown. This past March, we had six community days in here. A couple of the classes had 50 people in them because it was March and people were ready to get, into digging. So and then the thing that's really nice that comes with it is the discount, because our normal discounts for seniors, first responders or for military is 10%, and it's only on plants. So for the community days, it's 20%. We double it, and it's on plants and hard goods. So if you've got a statue you've been eyeing, or really been wanting to do a little bit of upgrading on your landscape, it's the perfect way to do it.
And it's a fun time to meet your neighbors.
It's fun,
These communities, mine included, are growing so quickly. I used to know everybody in my community.
Right.
I don't any longer.
And we had your community in Winding Creek was in.
Yes,
so
I was away that time, yes.
And, like I said, some of them like to do the make and take, a hands-on workshop type of thing. Others, you know, with a lecture. And it's seasonal, the types of make and takes that we do. We've got a couple groups coming in September, just before our Harvest Fest starts.
And, we were going to talk about Harvest Fest. That starts in September.
Yep.
And we've got, is it 4 weeks? Four consecutive Saturdays?
Yeah, we start the 28th of September and go through the 19th of October.
And we have our orchid class?
Yes, the 21st of September.
At 11 o'clock.
And I will put the teaser out there. We are planning, as a part of Harvest Fest and to lead into it, a whole series of classes that are really geared around fall is for planting, and to try to be very specific around different aspects of either good plants for the fall, how you plant, why you do this, why you do that. And also, we really want to make it not a really long class, but kind of a quick class. People won't have to take up their whole day. So if you want to know about community days, call here at the Garden Center, 302-945-3489. I happen to be Donna, so just ask for me.
That sounds great. Lots of fun. So we'll take a break and lots to talk about. We'll be back in a minute.
The following program is a paid commercial presentation. The comments, views, and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or advertisers of Delaware 1059.
Everybody, thank you for joining us back on the Delmarva Potting Shed. We are sitting here at East Coast Garden Center amongst all the beauty and wonder of nature. This is Donna. I'm sitting here with Val and with Lawrence, and Stacy has also joined us. But before we get into talking about perennials, which is a very exciting day for us today with that, we got a few shout outs. I was lucky enough to have a birthday this past week.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. I didn't know.
Yeah,
and one of our customers also has flowers on Savannah, and he always does the flowers that we get at the house. And so, Paul, shout out to you. Thank you for the beautiful flowers.
Oh, happy birthday.
It was a great on my birthday.
Oh, nice.
And also, Val, you got a shout out there.
Well, last week we had Warren and Jane Ellen and their friend on, and we talked all about Blooming Lewis. So that is today. It's a celebration of public gardens today from 10 to 2 in Lewis. So go downtown and enjoy the beautiful gardens that they have, plus guest speakers, plus artists, plus food, plus all kinds of children's activities, lots going on.
And the artists are going to be actually doing the painting right there.
And we talked about plein air.
Talked about there.
Painting, yes.
And they'll be selling some of their works and others they brought at the same time. So if you really like local art and very talented artists, then definitely go check it out.
And we work with the Master Gardeners, and we got their new schedule of classes, which sounds awesome.
Yeah, you can check on that. But a lot of nice classes coming up, some specifically gardening, others more artistic types of things. And so we'll be having them on with us starting end of August, probably the first one. And then all the way through September and into October. It goes all the way into November now.
And that'll keep us up to date on what's going on with the Master Gardeners.
Big shout out to the Master Gardeners.
Good. And while I was away, we got a shipment of beautiful perennials in.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked through this morning, and it's always so much fun. All of them caught my eye, so I thought it would be fun. I know you walked through, and Stacy came in and walked through. So, who wants to start first on what caught their eye?
You go first,
Stacy. You go first.
All right. Yeah, it's like Christmas morning, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yes.
So exciting. There's a lot of really beautiful foliage plants back there, in addition to new echinacea varieties that I haven't seen here before. One called Green Twister has a bicolor flower. Mm-hmm. And the tips of it are spoon-shaped. That was interesting, too. It's chartreuse and purple in the same flower, which is, I thought that was really cool. But speaking of chartreuse, there's an Aurelia we got in, which really brightens up in a shady spot. I'm going to pair it with a purple-leaf heuchera and just make each other show off their colors. And we got several varieties of the heuchera in. From like caramel color, berry smoothie.
There was a fire something.
Oh, there. Fire chief. So that one's like a
pretty red,
kind of reddish orange. Yeah, and interesting thing that's a native and it's a shade plant, but the darker leaved ones and the brighter, the reds, they can take sun, but the chartreuse or the more pastel ones, like we got Blondie, they definitely prefer a shadier spot. Have you noticed that? They just tend to crisp up a little more. The darker colors can take a lot of sun.
I know my son Chris, who does a lot of the containers, loves the reds in his fall winter containers, which goes great with the fall winter colors.
They do,
and they do great in containers all through the winter. So that's a nice one. And your Aurelia, back to Aurelia, I have one in my yard, and it is just awesome. And I think that's probably a perennial that people don't know much about. And it's a wonderful. It's a strong. I've had it maybe for 10 years. And it's a nice strong perennial that looks pretty, and it pops in the shade. So it's a great shade garden plant.
Yeah, I believe this one's hardy to zone 4 as well, so it should overwinter.
Really well.
Yeah. It's supposed to get a purpley black berry on it.
Oh, nice.
Coming in the fall, so I'm excited to see that because that'll just add to the effect with the purple heuchera there.
And that's the fun thing about plants is they change throughout the season. Mm-hmm. A lot of plants change throughout, whether they put on flowers or berries or the colors change or the bark. I just learned the other day, nine bark. I didn't know why they called it nine bark. You probably know at this point, right?
That not 100% sure. The nine, I know it has lots of different shades in it.
Yeah, and the bark peels, and peels back, and it says, nine layers. I don't think it has nine layers, but that's how it got its name, the nine bark.
We just recently planted one in our landscape, the Copertina.
Yes.
That's nice.
Yes, and it looks great, doing very well, and I'm excited to watch it change throughout the seasons.
And they have the full size and the dwarf, and the plant of the year for 2019 is the nine bark from the Delaware Nursery and Landscape Association.
Yeah, another native, right?
Yeah, another native too.
Another native.
Yes. Yes, and they also make good cut flowers. If you cut the blossoms on the nine bark and you put them in water, it lasts for a long time. Mm-hmm.
And they're very airy,
almost
like a baby's breath. So you can put them with some other textures.
Yeah, that would really give a real naturalized look to an arrangement. I like that.
Yeah. Well, back to the perennials back there. What did you see, Don?
Well, there wasn't one in particular, but I was just amazed at the variety of echinacea that we have.
Yes.
And
all different. Hues of yellows and oranges and almost into red. And then we got these cute little ones that they're yellow.
Tweety. Those are crazy pretty. Yes.
Tweety. They're just this little stubby looking job. I mean, they're great.
I think the mature size on those is less than a foot.
Yeah.
I think I looked that up.
And they are loaded with blossoms.
Right.
Loaded.
So if you're ready to start making, Val's been talking about making the seasonal changes in your garden, start thinking about perennials. And the thing that's fun is so many of them are up and in bloom, and you can really enjoy looking at them right now. Definitely the time to do it. But the other thing that caught my eye, I love ornamental grasses, and we've got a dwarf pampas in. Now, dwarf is always relative. So for people like, I'd like to get one of those. At maturity, it's more in the 5 to 7 foot range.
Is that all?
Yeah, it's all. But then this other one that caught my eye was a pink pampas. And that hummer can go like 9 to 12 foot. So, and of course, the pink muley grasses, and I love
the pink muleys.
One of my favorites.
Just about, where that's going to start shining here soon.
Yeah, any time. So those really caught my eye because, again, I was thinking, with the grasses the way they look now, if you want instant impact in your landscape, that's going to give it to you. Matter of fact, the area in my beds that I talked about I have to do some work on, I'm sure that pink muley is going to end up in there.
Well, speaking of grasses, we have the Japanese forest grass, and that for a shady area is great because I have a lot of shady areas in my yard. And once you get that in and established, it makes the shady areas pop too.
Yeah, that's another bright chartreuse.
Yeah, I was going to say yellow into chartreuse type of look. Stacy, can you pronounce the botanical name?
That's not fair. That's not fair.
Hackanacloa?
There you go. Hackanacloa.
Is it close?
I think you're on target.
Not quite, but close.
And any of us in the business say, you pronounce it. Don't make me pronounce it.
Yeah.
I don't know why they called it that. I'll have to look that up.
But I need to practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the other one that I like is Russian sage, and there was one called Blue Jean Baby, and I thought that was cute. I don't know. Do you know what the mature height of that is? Because that looked like that was more dwarf.
It's slightly, right. It doesn't get the 3 to 4. I think it's more like 2 to 3.
Yeah, and it was nice. It looked compact.
So it can still be like a middle of your perennial bed, maybe, or background if you don't go too high.
So Russian sage, I like, is a later season color plant. And then the Epimedium, there was one that you pointed out. It's not blooming yet. It has an orange flower. So that looks like that could be really, really interesting.
Violet said in the fall that the foliage gets some orange cast around the edges to it.
Oh, that's neat looking.
I definitely want to try it. I mean, that's a great problem solver for dry shade.
Yes.
Or an area around a tree.
And that was, I've always heard so many good things about Epimedium. So I bought one about 2 years ago when I planted it in the dry shade by our front door. And it's really shady there. And it's done well. So I'm thinking this one I'm going to put next to it. And it can have a buddy.
Oh. So it's always good to have a buddy.
That's it. So, and Donna, we had a guest come in, and we do training a lot, and this was a spoma, and I missed it, and I couldn't open the, which is nice, you film it, and so for all of those that don't get to see it, they get to watch it, but I couldn't open mine, so I'm going to really put you on the spot and ask you about things that you learned from a spoma.
Well, the thing that was nice, you've heard us say at different times that education is very important to us, and that we're constantly learning so that we can better, serve our customers. So Espoma is a major product that we carry. And
a great company.
Yep, great company. They actually have been around since 1929. They were organic from the first day of their business, which is kind of amazing. Organic started picking up, I think, in
popularity. They were organic before it was the buzzword.
Before it was fashionable to be organic. And they've stuck with it. It's family-owned business, family-started business, and that's something that's important to this business here. And it's at one point it passed to another family, but they've kept that. They are amazingly environmentally it's critical to them in terms of their policies and how they do business. They have this huge manufacturing plant. Their entire plant and offices is run on solar power.
Which is amazing. I just read that this morning. Yeah.
It is totally solar power. And they've done a lot more, too, in terms of packaging, in terms of being environmentally friendly. And they've changed up. You can see how they're constantly trying to improve things for the customer to make it easy. For the ones of you that use the Espoma, it's got the kind of the Ziploc type of a bag. Next year's going to be Velcro, and real a lot easier to close and all that. So they're incorporating that. So we had a chance to really learn a lot about what's coming. But when we get back, I'll talk more about the products and what Rick was talking earlier about fertilization. and just really what it does for your soil and for your plants. It's not just about your plants.
Sounds good, because I want to learn. So yeah. We'll take a break, and you can teach me when we come back. You miss, and I miss, and we'll be back.
There you go. Here at the Delmarva Potting Shed.
And I've never seen you smile so.
I love you. Oh.
Great song, Layla. Great song. Yes, yes. Happy birthday.
Thank you. So everybody who's going, what are they doing this morning? Welcome back to
our music.
Welcome back to the Delmarva Potting Shed. We're here at East Coast Garden Center. If you can fit in a call, you can give us a call at 302-839-1059. Or send us a text, and if we don't have time to get it this morning, we'll give you an answer next week. But we were talking about Espoma, and so again, I was giving a little bit of history about the company itself, but also wanted to talk a little bit about actually what it does for you and why we carry the product and why it's so important. Really, in terms of organic, I think a lot of times when people think about organic, it's often around, well, if it's an edible, I want to make sure it's been grown in organic soil, and more of a safety type of thing, not wanting the chemicals in your food. And but also, there is a lot of other reasons to use organic. Certainly, not putting, from an environmental standpoint, not putting chemicals into the environment is important. So that's definitely there. But the other thing with your organics and with the Espoma in particular is it is definitely a slow release. So it's not going to, you know, burn the roots. It's not going to do that like some chemicals and especially salts can do too. But then also it has, the plant has time to take the nutrients in. And as a result of that, from an environmental standpoint, you're not only wasting your money with it running off, but it's not going into our bays and creeks and rivers. So that's very important, too. And the thing is, because it's slow release, it's long-lasting, so you don't have to do it as often. And then the last piece of it that I alluded to a little bit before we, when I said humus, One of the most amazing things that Mike said is, quote, I won't forget this, no one ever fertilized in the rainforest. So I got to thinking about that. And because the nature on its own would make beautiful, beautiful soil. But for those of us who live in developed areas, and you were lucky that there was some forest there before your house got built. But, you know, all the soil is long gone from the forests around here. So it's compacted. And you do is you continue to use not only just biotome, which is wonderful, wonderful for root starter, is what it does. It's so important to get the roots established. That's what's going to determine the health of your plant, not anything going on up top. If it's not going on down below, then, you know, you're just, it's not going to work.
And that's so important. Right. It's really, and but people don't think about it.
Right. And so as you continue to use biotome when you plant it, and then those familiar with Espoma know that it's holly tone, bulb tone, you know, cactus tone, all of that, anything that has the tone on the end is has biotone in it. So not only, and that is totally focused on the roots. And so I would encourage everybody, because as you continue to use those products, over time you will actually be improving the your soil, because it has all the essential ingredients that the soil needs. Where, you know, the nutrients come for plants, they need food just like we do. So that's kind of at a high level. I'm very excited about Espoma. I'll probably be talking on it on the radio for, you know, different aspects. But I know we're getting near the end here, and Val always has a wonderful, amazing thought and sentiment to share with us. So, Val, I want to make sure you got plenty of time to do that.
Well, as the listeners know, I was on vacation this week, so I always like to read and offer a thought for the week.
Yes.
And this thought is titled Lessons. So it was a good time for me on vacation. So if you could see your life as a perpetual place of learning and growth, then you can see that all your perceived setbacks, your misfortunes, your accidents, betrayals, are merely signs to help you pay attention to what you have not been paying attention to. When you take the time to reflect, you will be better able to learn and grow. When you reach a perceived negative occurrence, you can just continue that pattern or open your eyes to a new way of seeing life, because as you change your mind, you change your life.
Wow.
So that was my thought for the week. And so reflect and learn and come to better understanding.
Yes, and I don't know where else you get fine words like that, but on the Delmarva Podcast. So, you know, folks, we're here every day, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. So come out and see us. Remember, we've got a lot of things on sale, especially your annuals for $1. And the trees, the tropicals, lots to do. Things are beautiful. The perennials came in. I'm trying to list all the different things that are going on here. And quite frankly, there's too many things going on to list them all. And then to start whetting your appetite, Fall Fest is coming up. We're getting into our plans for that. And so we will see you next week. Y'all come back.
Thank you. Bye for now.